Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
So Sherry, how's it going so far with all these holiday preparations?
Not too bad for once. Deep breaths. So far, so good. How about you?
It's going to be okay.
She says and laughs maniacally. This week, we're going to talk about when you need to do less this year. And I don't think either of us are in this situation this year where we're being forced by circumstances to pare back. But we've heard from some listeners who are in those circumstances.
Yeah, so one of our listeners talked about having a health crisis this year that forced her to pull back and, quote, be okay with my less than perfect attempts to do things.
You know, it's so interesting because I remember years that have been like that. And I'm also remembering that it was good to scale back. But then as soon as I didn't have to scale back, maybe I ramped back up again. Whoa, I'm going to have to think about that. So, okay.
Christmas creep.
What are you calling me? Are you calling me a creep?
No, you're not a creep.
No, that's a brilliant term for it, though. Christmas, you're right, it does. Okay, so here's the thing. Jesus came to be our Prince of Peace. Yet often the holidays are far from peaceful. So why at the busiest time of the year do we end up putting so much pressure on ourselves?
Well, I confessed last week about my obsession with Pinterest and looking at pictures on Pinterest to decorate my home. And, you know, that's fun unless we really do let it take over. And I do think it takes over more than we think, that all the messages coming at us from our screens tend to shape what we think Christmas should be like. And then there's our own internal drive. I really, really believe that our own expectations and what we think other people expect, even if it's not what they really expect, those things just drive us crazy.
So true. I have a love-hate relationship with Christmas movies. I mean, I love watching them. But the problem is, I mean, think about all the magic that happens, especially in the old-time Christmas movies like Miracle on 34th Street and White Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, they all have these amazing endings where everybody comes together and it all works out and there's a beautiful bow on top. And I want that as a recovering perfectionist. I want the big bow on. I want the big Christmas bow on top. And so, yeah, I tend to work to try to force that to happen, forgetting that they're just movies.
Oh.
They're not real life.
What?
They're entertainment.
Right. Well, and when you talk about the big bow on top, I keep thinking about the Lexus commercials with the big red bow on top. So we want the big red bow and we want the Lexus too, please, by the way. Anyway.
So true.
But what, Sherry, have you ever been in a circumstance where you seriously could not do all the things that you've done before? I know some of our friends have talked about this in situations of a death or loss or divorce or some kind of major change in their lives.
Quite a few years ago, I had surgery right before Christmas, and it really curtailed what I could do. But that one I kind of planned for. The one that really sticks out for me, especially when I was a fairly new teacher and I had young kids, and of course, the all or nothing thinking, I was so into perfectionism back then that for years I tried to do the full on Christmas and it was more and more exhausting. And finally, one year I just like hit the wall and I did nothing. Like,
wow.
No tree, no decorations, no gifts. I mean, like, I did nothing at all for Christmas. Yeah. I mean, it was a big shock to the family.
Sure.
But I couldn't bring myself to simplify or just do less. It was that all or nothing thinking. And after that year is when I realized, hang on, Sherry, I could have done something. But I was so overwhelmed by the impossibility of doing what I'd always done. And I just couldn't imagine doing anything different. How about you?
I want to pause on one of the things you just said. You said, I could have done something. And I want to pause there for a moment to let that sink into the hearts of some of our listeners that might be facing a different kind of Christmas this year. And just to encourage you to find joy in the something instead of doing nothing. I love that that lesson from you, Sherry. There was one year that we were at my parents'. My parents have downsized, and so we can't all stay at their house anymore. So we were staying at a hotel nearby. That was totally fine. But Nolan, my youngest, got sick, running a very high fever. Like we were trying to decide whether to take him to the emergency room all of Christmas Eve and Christmas. What happened was is that Nolan had to be quarantined in the hotel room, and so we were running back and forth to be with him. You know, one of us was with him all the time. So that was really hard, because part of my pictures of perfect at Christmas is everybody together. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was particularly hard on him, let's be honest. Of course. But then, it just kind of shattered that picture. So sometimes, I think people probably listening are facing empty chairs around the table and people who can't or won't be there. Mm. That's just something we all have to face. But it's funny because I had to shift what Christmas Day should look like.
Yeah.
Recently, I was having a conversation with one of my sons, and I told him, because they're both adults now, if I start the sentence, "you should," I'm going to stop if I hear myself, and I'm not going to finish the sentence, and don't ask me to finish the sentence. And he shared with me that he had had a teacher that said that she had tried to eradicate that completely from her vocabulary, the word "should." Wow. That is a really great practice. I've been thinking about that, working on that a lot for reforming perfectionist. You should... It's got to go. It should go.
You just think about that all you want, Amy Carroll. My jaw's on the floor. I'm sorry. This whole concept is not computing. I mean, how would people know what to do if we didn't tell them what they should do?
Especially our adult children. Bless them.
Oh, my word. Oh, dear. Yeah. All kidding aside, we've had to adapt many times. You know how we talk about plan B, plan C, plan D, and, plan ZZZ. As a family, we've decided that whatever we end up doing is plan G. G for Gregory, because it's what the Gregories ended up doing. And it's just a different tweak on saying, you know what? There's what we meant to do, what we wanted to do, but then there's what we ended up doing. Let's celebrate what we did do rather than waste time and energy on regrets about what we didn't or couldn't do. So when have you benefited from doing things more simply?
We are scaling back on a lot of things now that our children don't live at home. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's okay. Mm-hmm. And every year I have to really think again, like, am I doing this because we've done it in the past, or am I doing this because it's a blessing now? Mm. And some of those things that used to be blessings have become burdens. Mm. And so I'm trying to really just let those things go.
Mm. That's so, so good. I'm simplifying or working on simplifying by being more candid with my family, because so much of my Christmas angst is in my head, less external and more internal. So we're really trying to talk about what we do and even don't want to do, the movies we want to watch. I've made it clear I'd rather do it together, but I'm going to watch them without anybody if that's what it takes. It turns out our kids love family game night, and I was going to say, but it's not a Christmas thing. But if we do it in December, then it becomes a Christmas thing. I mean, it's what we all enjoy doing. We end up laughing, and family game night isn't a real family game night until Daniel is on the floor rolling, laughing so hard. He's like, my stomach hurts, stop. I can't breathe. That's the kid's goal, is to get him laughing that hard. So
do you guys talk smack?
We do. That's part of what makes it so much fun.
That's good.
And then I just realized that we used to do puzzles together and have a lot of fun with it, except for my son, who always steals one piece, and I never remember that he does that. And then I talk about a way to mess with a perfectionist, right?
That is evil.
It is. It is so wrong. You get all the way done, and the one piece is missing, and then he comes in so casually and snaps it in place, and I don't know what to do, whether to wring his neck, or, of course, he's 6 foot tall now. I can't do that. But anyhow, but I've ordered one puzzle for us, not 10 or 20, one puzzle, just to see if we have some fun with it again. So, yeah, just trying to be more honest and open and do what we know we enjoy and bring back one thing from the past.
It's making me feel good just to hear you talk about it. And that really is what Jesus came for, right?
Yeah.
In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
Mm. So what's the bad rule we're breaking in this episode?
I can't disappoint my family and friends at Christmas. There's that expectation thing again.
You know, and let's pause for a moment and let's just think about that from a logical standpoint. Of course we can. Of course we're going to. Of course we will. We are humans. So everybody needs to take a deep breath and realize it is just part of what's going to happen when you bring so many people together at such a high-pressure time of year. A few people are going to end up disappointed. And here's a secret. Guess what? Disappointment isn't deadly. They will survive. Everybody will be okay.
Well, and you know what you're just talking about? I started thinking that my youngest son just got engaged recently.
So
I have a future daughter-in-law in the picture who I adore. But, you know, this mother-in-law thing is a new thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the person who is undisappointable this Christmas. How about that?
Good for you. I love that.
I don't want to heap that on anybody else either.
So that's a choice you're making.
Yes.
That's a theory you're testing.
Yes.
But what I love here is that instead of focusing on other people's reactions, which you can't control, you're focusing on learning. You're setting a standard. You're pre-deciding that you're going to be undisappointable. And then as disappointment rises, which it will because you're human too, you will deal with your own rising disappointment and take it to God rather than mess with other people. I love it. So what is the truth, the actual fact to focus on from this episode?
Jesus came to replace striving with peace. I mean, when we think about why Jesus came, he came to save us, to eliminate all the work that we were trying to do to meet God's standards. And he replaced that with the peace of knowing him. What an amazing application for the holiday season.
I just felt my shoulders move from about my ears all the way down where they belong. That is beautiful. The intern who put this episode together is Jeanette Hanscom. And here are her words for how this episode ties into our overall theme of His grace is enough. She said, God's grace often shines brightest when we welcome the peace of simplifying. Sometimes when we are forced to do less, we see how little it takes to make the holidays meaningful, that what we are doing is enough. This is often when our hearts are free to truly celebrate Jesus.
Beautifully said. I can't imagine saying it any better. Peace and simplifying.
Yes. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Grit and Grace.
Make sure to join us next week when we'll be talking about how to make it the most wonderful time of the year.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and
break it.
And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.
Oh, I forgot to say break it. I was already thinking about the next thing. Simplify, Amy. Simplify.